Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Republican and Democratic presidential campaigns are being targeted by hackers. National Intelligence Director James Clapper saying the hackers may be working for foreign governments, noting that U.S. government officials are working with the campaigns to educate them about the threats. It's a guilty verdict for the woman on trial for killing her five-year-old son in New Jersey more than two decades ago. We get details from Jennifer Polson.
A jury convicting Michelle Lazinski for killing little Timothy Wiltsy back in 1991. Her brother, who was in court, agrees with the jury's findings.
Right from the beginning, it was a no-win situation for the family. You know, we were devastated by Timmy's murder, and we've been living with that for a long time. And now, you know, my sister's going to be put away for a long time, and we're devastated by that, too.
The time of his killing, his mother claimed the boy went missing from a carnival in Sayreville and had been abducted. The now Florida woman was not charged until 2014 when investigators reopened the case. She plans to appeal her sentencing, though scheduled for August 23rd.
Protesters in Paris upset about new labor reforms, and USA Radio's Russ Jones explains water cannons and tear gas were used to calm the violent crowds.
Truckers blocked intersections. Thousands took to the streets in protest to government reforms. Reforms intended to make it easier to hire and fire employees in an effort to correct a bad economy and an all-time high unemployment rate of 10%.
France has a strict 35-hour work week, and unions threaten more strikes and demonstration if things don't improve. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat. Know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
It is 9:06, time for Huntington Chamber Radio weather. Flemington, we're at 56 degrees. Weather Underground says that it is 20% chance of precipitation. Actually, we're up to 64. My phone did not update fast enough. 64 degrees, overcast skies, 20% chance of precipitation. Mostly cloudy this morning, then partly sunny with isolated showers this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s, west winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Partly cloudy with isolated showers in the evening, then mostly clear after midnight. Lows in the mid-40s, northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour, chance of rain, 20%. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-70s. Somebody was driving me with me today and said it was going to be 79 tomorrow. That may or may not be the case. Could be wishful thinking. Northwest winds, 5 miles an hour. Rain likely on 21st, highs in the upper 60s, 70% chance.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Flemington and the surrounding area. We've got about 43 outside right now. Sunny high may reach the mid-40s. Slight chance of showers tonight. Maybe some freezing rain between midnight and 2 a.m. Low right around 32. Tuesday rain, high near 54. Rain likely Tuesday night. Wednesday, a chance of showers. Precip possibility about 30%. Highs in the 50s. Wednesday night, chance of showers before midnight. Then rain and snow showers between midnight and 3 a.m. Sunny on Thursday, high in the 30s, down in the teens overnight. More of the same sunny Friday, lower in the 20s, and maybe some showers happening again on Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Coming to you every Monday morning. Just got back into new headquarters here on Main Street. Renovations going on at the building here, and beautiful inside already. Nice finishing work. Soon the studio will be in its own annex. Other spot on the property, but for right now, we're up in this nice office up on the second floor. Come by and check out the progress. Okay, well, I hope everybody's recovered from yesterday. Any parties you did or nice food fests? Hopefully everyone had a good time. And what do we have? Oh, we have Valentine's Day coming up. Another week after this week, so got to get ready for that. Right, it was always a food holiday on the horizon here, especially in the spring. Lots of occasions coming up. Get together and celebrate. I always like to celebrate with a meal, right? You have to eat anyway, so why not make it a little something special? So, let's see. Celebrations of, this week, on the 7th, Fettuccine Alfredo Day. And on the 9th is pizza, and the 13th, tortellini. So, nice theme for the week. Fettuccine Alfredo, of course, not necessarily a classic Italian dish. Fettuccine, probably a couple of different ways would be prepared, just with whole butter. And probably sprinkle a little cheese on afterwards. Or it could be, in the case of tortellini or fettuccine, alla panna, which would be just reduced heavy cream seasoned, maybe a little whole butter, and again, many pastas except for, of course, seafood, at least in Italy. We don't put the grated cheese on, although, I don't know, some of the fish out there, lobster and crab seem to go all right with some cheese, so we won't tell anybody. So Alfredo, restaurant dish primarily, just like many maitre d's or restaurant owners created dishes over time. And this one was probably originally with butter, but a little cream ends up going in. Now, what happens with Alfredo, people call it Alfredo sauce, it's more about a process. Actually, a nice relative of that that seems to be catching on now, the cacio e pepe, it's black pepper and cheese, which was always a nice snack. I know when I was younger and working late, we'd go out and come back and always had a pound of spaghetti in the pantry, and then there was always some butter in the refrigerator or olive oil, whichever you like, and boil up the pasta and a good healthy grinding of pepper and then something to toss it in. Whole butter is always nice, and then melt some cheese. Very simple dish. If we had a little extra money, we'd make maybe a white clam sauce or something. Go, you know, get some clams, get some parsley. But basically the pasta at night, I remember my father used to boil up elbow macaroni and put some milk and black pepper in it. That was his, after coming back from night school, that was his little quick late night snack. So kind of reminded me, we'll talk about Valentine's Day. We could do an elegant, or not necessarily elegant, but, you know, a little treat dinner we'd like to talk about this week. But I was thinking, you know, it's Tuesday, Valentine's Tuesday night, so people are going to get home from work. We found it at Jake's, it's become more the, like a family, almost a family type thing. People still will go out and celebrate. But Nessa, definitely a lot of couples and working couples or significant others, whether married, not married, dating, friends, going out, is a wonderful thing for restaurants, but not everybody can do that. And if you are cooking at home, I just thought a nice quick meal. It doesn't have to be necessarily a meal with a lot of meat in. I'm going to go with kind of two extremes here. The other menu I'll talk about is, of course, very, very good protein, steaks and chops and things like that. But I thought, you know, what a nice, I mean, it's filling enough. You've got the cheese, you've got either olive oil or butter. You can add meat if you want. Of course, out of this base, you could turn it into a carbonara very easily with the addition of some egg or egg yolk to the cheese. And again, we don't cook that. We don't make a sauce. It's more the heat of the pasta and a little bit of the pasta water that make it work. With the tortellini, the classic would be maybe it's a little prosciutto and peas. That could be a nice main dish. Not necessarily a ton of cheese. In fact, when we saute any garnishes for Alfredo or tortellini, oftentimes we'll add a little white wine. And that's flavor and also helps, like we've done with fondue, keeps the cheese from curdling too much. The worst thing you can do is boil the pasta in a pan after the cheese has hit it. The cheese will curdle. You'll get lumps. It'll separate, and that's not good. And the first couple of times you try it, that might happen. But and if it does, you just put a little more cheese on, and you end up with a nice curd there. Just slice it up and enjoy it. It's still going to taste good. So we don't mind cooking, unless you really burn something. It's can always eat your mistakes. So with the Alfredo and the fettuccine, my favorite, of course, is to use the freshly made or fresh pasta, even if it's fresh and frozen. What really separates it from the dry stuff is the pasta is made with egg. And instead of al dente, meaning a little bite in the middle, I always thought the flat noodles really aren't good that way. They need to be cooked. It's hard to get the center of a flat noodle. The round noodles, spaghetti, linguine, angel hair, those dry noodles like that, yes, you get that little bit of bite in the middle, but The flat noodles, not so much. We like the egg pasta because it is stronger. It's cooked all the way. It cooks faster. And the strength of the pasta, the chewiness comes from the egg, the protein in the egg. So choice for this, again, we're going to toss it, or actually with the cacio e pepe, a new technique that, or well, it's maybe a revived technique, is to stir the pasta vigorously in a skillet with some of the pasta water and cheese. And you can add olive oil or butter, and it makes kind of a temporary emulsion. The starch comes off the pasta. Think when you're cooking risotto, when you're stirring that rice. That's the big difference. In that stirring action with the spoon, the starch is coming off the rice, gives you that nice, creamy risotto. So we've got a break for a couple of messages, but we'll do a quick, elegant weeknight dinner with some variation of fettuccine alfredo or tortellini. And we'll be back at the table.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
We're back at the table here. Chef Bill's table here at HuntingChamberRadio.com. So a nice quick meal for a Tuesday night that fairly rich, but does not have to be protein heavy. Fettuccine Alfredo or tortellini. Tortellini are the little belly button shaped. I guess they're remodeled after the navel of Venus. There's always some romantic inspiration for many of the pasta shapes, or things taken from nature: linguine, the cross section, the sparrow's tongue, capelli, the angel hair, obviously nice and fine. So, tortellini, seen them in the stores, like them if you get them from a nice pasta shop, of course. They're a little time consuming to make by hand, but there are machines that do it. The original filling probably was with some mortadella, some cured pork, and if you want to dish with a little bit of that in that, of course, go for it. In fact, that might be a little more interesting than having cheese tortellini with a cheese sauce. Oftentimes, again, so served more of a light cream sauce with some peas, other vegetable in there if you like. Tortellini, of course, very easy to eat, but you could make the, even though pasta in Italy is a second course or even considered a soup course, the We can make it a main dish. And you don't need to eat a big pound of it. You know, it's rich. You can just enjoy a little bit. So I would say either the pasta with the butter and cheese. And what's happened now is, of course, fresh pasta, you need a little bit more water. But I've cooked the fresh pasta in a skillet. And we say, oh, you need a gallon of water, and you need 6 quarts of water. And we're finding now, of course, especially with this dish, you want a little bit higher concentration of starch in the water because that's what's going to help thicken your sauce. And I've done it with a couple of knots of fresh fettuccine in a 12-inch skillet. Just enough water, you get it, you know, get it to a rolling boil and salt it and make sure you stir the pasta. The fresh pasta only takes a minute or two to cook, and you'll have the water will get, you know, a little cloudy. That's the starch coming off of it. But instead of waiting half an hour for a pot of water to boil, and then you have to dump it, and, you know, the whole thing, the cooking, or even dried pasta, cooking it in a skillet makes sense. We're finding that, yeah, let's not use so much water. Let's save some of this water to help with our sauce. So you have your pasta cooked. Now, another school of thought with the something like the cacio e pepe is you have black pepper freshly ground, and you will heat this up in a little bit of olive oil. Not burn it, but you just want to release the fragrance of it. Of course, you're using freshly ground pepper, freshly grated cheese. These are dishes, you know, fresh pasta. It's really everything fresh, fresh, fresh. It's quick. It's easy. You just rely on the basic flavor is a very good product. The cheeses, traditionally Parmesan. Cacio e pepe would call for a Romano, the Pecorino Romano or Caciocavallo, one of the sheep's milk cheese. A little bit stronger, a little sharper. But if you have a pan that's big enough to hold the pasta cooked, heat up the pepper and the olive oil, set it aside. You don't want this pan to be too hot. The mistake we make with melting these cheeses is that we take the same pot that we've cooked pasta in, it's still a lot of residual heat, and it curdles the cheese. So you have this skillet off to the side with your black pepper. Have your cheese grated. Again, you can use a combination of olive oil and butter. You can use just butter, just olive oil, whatever you like. Pasta, when it's cooked, you need to get it out of the water and right into that skillet with your black pepper and oil. Save some of the water. And now you'll add that hot water a little bit at a time with some of the grated cheese. And you'll stir it, stir the noodles, the long noodles with a fork. And this will kind of emulsify the sauce. It'll, again, release a little bit more starch from the pasta, coat it nicely. I always coat, even if I'm cooking for, you know, spaghetti and meatballs, always take the pasta, toss it with olive oil, season it with some black pepper, and if it needs a little bit of salt, I'll even season it then. I always season the pasta after it's cooked. Toss it in the oil or the butter. It doesn't stick together. You don't have to chill it down and rinse it and then reheat it. You lose some of that nice starch on it. You just toss it and coat it, and it's fine. So for main dish, either cacio e pepe, Alfredo. You could use tortellini. You do tortellini, you could add something to it. You want a carbonara, something we used to do, again, for it was breakfast pasta sometimes. We would, of course, use bacon. But if you have pancetta, the unsmoked bacon, or the purist would say the guanciale, the pork shells, cured product prosciutto combination. Again, same idea. You've got your pasta water, your cheese. In this case, we make a batter with the cheese and raw egg. Could use raw egg yolk only if you want, make it even richer. And this, again, the heat from the pasta will set that egg, make it not cooked, not curdled, but nice and smooth. Now for this, very easy to have a good salad beforehand, and I would say a grilled salad would be nice no matter what time of year. We like to use the gem romaine, the baby romaine, if you see that. Another one that would be okay would be the longer radicchio, the treviso. Not the round cabbage looking ones, but the ones that look more like a Belgian endive. Or a combination of the two. But if you can find the gem romaine, very, very nice. It's concentrated flavor. One small head is enough for split in half. You could grill it on a griddle, or if you have a grill pan to put the marks on it. But you just want to oil the lettuce and cut it in half, oil the face of the cut side, and just mark it a little bit. You don't want to wilt. The outside leaves a wilt a little bit. The inside will still be crunchy. You warm it up. We make a little marinated, we take grape tomatoes, or even the little mixed yellow and purple medley, if you can find them, cocktail tomatoes. Cut them in half, a little diced onion, and we marinate that in our herb vinaigrette. You could make your own dressing, your favorite one, whatever you like. You could even do this the day before. Have your tomato and onion kind of marinating. So that's the dressing. That little medley would go on the salad, and some nice, we like shaved Asiago. If you want to do more cheese, if you don't want to do cheese, it's fine. You could even put another vegetable in your marinade. But the grilled lettuce with the vinaigrette, it's a warm lettuce. Vinaigrette goes on with your topping. You've got a nice salad. So you're cooking a little bit, but quick to do. Nice twist on this, and it becomes like your vegetable course. And you have your pasta. And, of course, to finish, something chocolate. I think fondue would be probably the easiest. You can make a quick ganache, chocolate ganache, and I recommend this anytime, especially if you can get some fruit, maybe a little strawberries, pineapple, pound cake, things to dip in the fondue. Basically, a pound of semi-sweet or dark chocolate, 8 ounces of heavy cream, and whatever flavoring you like. You use about 1.5 ounces. You can also add a little butter when you're mixing this up. But the cream, we bring the cream, we scald it. Now, if you want a little heat in there, put a little bit of that chili in adobo, the chipotles. Put that in the cream, let it steep for a little bit, strain it. You pour the hot cream over the shredded chocolate, let it sit a few minutes, then you start mixing until it gets smooth. It's going to be liquid. You can warm it up a little bit. If you let this chill, of course, you can make truffles, if that's your thing. Scoop some little balls and roll them in cocoa powder. It'd be another neat dessert. But after your ganache is melted, then whatever flavoring you want Grand Marnier, you want Kirschwasser, you want a Kahlua, you can flavor this ganache. Becomes a nice, quick fondue. Serve it in a warm bowl and dip and have conversation. But that would be my, I don't know if I want to call it light meal, but something quick, something you could do when you come home from work, if that's your situation, if you're cooking at home, don't have a lot of time to do a lot of prep. As I say, the lettuce is quick, do your vegetables the day before, your marinated vegetables that are going to go on there. You could have your cheese grated. Really, it's just cooking pasta, and the ganache could almost make. You could boil the cream while you're cooking your pasta and then pour it over the chocolate, and by the time you're done dinner, it's ready to go. If I saw you in heaven, would you help me stand? Now, if you really want to do something unique, of course, some restaurants will take white truffles or really high, but if that's in your budget, if you're doing something really special, a little shaved truffle over top of your hot pasta will release the aromas. And in lieu of that, if you wanted to finish with a little truffle oil, not a bad idea, or use a little truffle oil when you're coating your pasta, sends off a nice, terrific aroma. You'll get the, which is 90% of taste anyway, you get the nice aroma of the truffle, a little flavoring in there. I love mushrooms anyway, so anything that resembles a mushroom is good for me. We've got a break for news on the half hour coming up, and we'll be back at the table and explore maybe something a little more cooking involved, but good fun Valentine's Day dinner. Chef Bill's Table. Thank you.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was just a great team performance, so I'm so proud to be a part of this team.
On this morning after Super Bowl 51, New England Patriots winning quarterback Tom Brady says he will never forget his team's record-setting comeback win against the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, we faced a lot of adversities over the course of the year and overcame it with a lot of mental toughness, and it was just a great way to really culminate the season.
The Patriots coming back from a 25-point deficit to beat the Falcons in overtime 34-28. Two states and dozens of high-tech companies now calling on the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to keep a suspension of the president's executive order concerning an immigration pause in place. Washington State and Minnesota joining eight companies, including Apple and Google, in filing briefs with the court. A decision from the court expected late today. This is USA Radio News.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Table here. Chef Bill's table at Main Street in downtown Flemington with the new chamber office here. Okay, Valentine's Day. So we're going to kind of be a little showy here, right? So say you want to do a really full-blown fancy dinner. You're cooking at home, so obviously you don't have the prep helpers that I do in my kitchen, and some of it you can stage, but it's still going to be something I would call a fairly quick meal. So you want to start with seafood, and I'm going to swing into a nice the ultimate would be, of course, a nice porterhouse steak. Let's pretend we're going out to a steakhouse, right? But it could be a veal porterhouse, it could be a veal rib chop, could be a large full bone beef rib chop. Pork is nice. If you're not into meat that much, tuna would be a nice steak to use, although then it might take the tuna in a little bit different direction. But swordfish definitely would kind of qualify. A nice big slab of swordfish there. You can treat that just like steak. So we'll go with the starter, crab meat. Very easy to do. You buy it. It's already cooked. Get the fresh jumbo lump or pasteurized. And lobster is always nice, or shrimp. But of course, you have to cook, unless you find a fish shop that will steam the lobster for you. You can chill it, and you still have to pick the meat out. Shrimp's not too bad, but you still have to either roast it or poach it the day before if you want it chilled. So I like the crab meat. We put Crab Louis, retro dish on the menu a while ago, and it's a good steady seller. Nice salad. And the other ingredients are fairly easy to get. The dressing, many versions of it out there. We take our cocktail sauce, because you want a little horseradish, you want a little bite in there, and send it with some mayonnaise. Now, some recipes would call for, could be ketchup, could be chili sauce. We like the horseradish in there. Some recipes will call for chopped olive, or I don't know why you'd either green or black. I don't know why you'd use the black olives, but olives might be interesting in there, but we like to keep it pretty pure. And other versions would call for whipped cream, not with sugar, just plain, a little bit of whipped cream folded into very much lighten the sauce. You have, of course, air in there. You've got mayonnaise, of course, has air, but a little whipped cream kind of, you know, thins out the mayonnaise a little, or extends the mayonnaise. They say basically looks like a pink dressing, but very good with the crab. If you're not into mayonnaise, I would say maybe do a horseradish mustard or something, but you're serving this on a salad, so it's going to be kind of reminiscent of a Russian dressing, but without the pickles and things in there. You want to taste the crab. Now, we use a baby iceberg. Iceberg Babies, I think, is a trade name for one brand. And it's a whole head of iceberg about the size of a softball. And I like it because there's not as much water in it. It's got actually some flavor, which a lot of the large iceberg is. It's good texture. It's good food. It serves a purpose. But now that these smaller versions are out there, we like to, even for our wedge salad, we just take the head and cut it into quarters. So if you can find the baby iceberg, iceberg would be traditional with crab Louis. We use the baby or bib lettuce if you don't want to go for a big head of iceberg. Again, some bib lettuce. It's the pale green, nice, little more tender leaf. Won't be quite as crunchy, but very nice lettuce to use. We like to serve this with some grape tomatoes. Again, the grape tomatoes seem to be nice, or cherry tomatoes, but the grapes seem nice year-round. Or if you can get those little yellow pear tomatoes, those are nice. We need a little bit of hard-boiled egg, which you could do ahead. We use steamed asparagus that's been chilled. You could boil it and chill it in cold water if you like. You don't want to cook it too long, just a few minutes. You want it not mushy. And you want to set the color, too. So you could blanch it, cool it off in some... It doesn't even have to be ice water, just good cold water. Stop the cooking process. So these ingredients you could have ready. You've got crab meat ready, you've got lettuce, you've got your dressing made. So what we do is we kind of loosely cut or tear the iceberg lettuce, or the bib if you're using that, and then a nice mound of crab meat in the middle, some of the asparagus spears, again, your tomato, slice the hard-boiled egg or quarter it would be fine, and you've got the dressing. We normally serve it on the side, but you could put it right over top. And this would be kind of your seafood / salad course, even though many classical dinners, salad would come after with some cheese. You know, Americans seem to like this. It gets a couple of your vegetables out of the way, too. You've got the little asparagus and some lettuce there. Now, for the next course, we're going to do, of course, some kind of steak or chop. And cooking steak, now there's, all kinds of techniques out there. How to replicate what you get at a steakhouse. It really starts with purchasing the correct product. Now, for me, if I was serving, say, two people, a nice big porterhouse steak would be ideal because you've got some tenderloin, and you've got some sirloin, get a little bit of each. And a lot of times that would be presented sliced. A couple of reasons for that. Obviously, if you're serving, it's easier to pick a little bit of each to share. But the good porterhouses come from further back on the loin where this this little muscle starts growing in the middle. I think it's actually probably the start of the tailbone, but or the tail. But anyway, it's a little like Y-shaped muscle, and sometimes you'll see that in your strip steaks. Now, here's the problem. Where the most tenderloin is on the porterhouse is closer to where this muscle is in the middle of the sirloin. And if you cut straight into that, try to eat it like normally you would eat a whole steak, of course, you run right into that tough part, that little muscle in there. If you're slicing the steak diagonally at a nice angle, you really kind of lose that. It's not, you're not cutting right into it. So a couple of reasons why we like to do that sliced. When you're cooking the steak, of course, we like cast iron. We do grill burgers and, you know, maybe a thick ribeye over the charcoal grill. The steakhouses, of course, have those infrared broilers that are way, way high temperature. I don't think you'd get your, I think the only way to get your oven that hot would be to put it on self-clean, which you could do. I don't know how many times you could do that without affecting the oven, but if you want to get that 600 degrees, that's that'd be one way to do it. In the restaurant, we have larger ovens, of course. We run one at 550 all the time for quick cooking. So your steak, selecting it again, we like certified Angus. Got a nice buttery flavor to it. It's hard to find good prime steak. If you like prime, you can get it, but that's I think the Angus is and don't get just any, let's say, black Angus. You want it certified. That is the pure genotype. It's guaranteed to be mostly the black Angus. That's the one we like. And you can get Kobe beef. You can do grass-fed if that's your thing. Stay away from the corn-fed beef. But at any rate, anything from that back muscle, the loin, the ribeye, is going to be tender because it doesn't get exercised as much. If you're doing a ribeye, of course, a nice full-bone ribeye, enough to slice and serve two people. You like to get that more from the front, more toward the shoulder. It's got a little bit, you know, softer meat there. Again, it's not exercise. A little bit more fat in it, but obviously more flavor. If I was going with veal, I'm partial to chops. I know veal got a bad rap in probably a whole generation now. Doesn't eat much veal, only in probably Italian restaurants, but I worked many years in Italian restaurants, and veal was our mainstay. But what I, towards the end, I found a free-range veal where the calves are out. They let, you know, so the meat's got a little pink tinge to it because they get a little bit of iron in the diet. You know, and people say, oh, veal's anemic. Of course it's anemic. It doesn't, it does, it's supposed to be fed just milk. Milk does not have iron in it. So the free-range, though, that's more, I know that people maybe, you know, European descent would be more familiar with that type of veal than just the milk-fed. But veal, you know, the scallopinis, it's, they take on whatever sauce flavor you are, unless you're doing a nice cutlet. But the chops are a different story. A nice seared veal chop, pretty good food if you, you know, care to venture into that. Not inexpensive by any means. There's not much production now, so the veal and lamb out there, fairly expensive. Alternative to that, the pork we're producing now, a nice center cut pork chop or a porterhouse that has some of the tenderloin, give you the, you know, same kind of thing as the beef. Not as large a steak, of course, but you can get them nice and thick. Then you're getting a little bit of loin or tenderloin, or from further up on the back, the again, the rib chop. Very good flavor in that. And you can get nice ones with the French bone. I know we've served them at the restaurant. It could be 14 ounces, almost a pound. I mean, you know, hefty chops. And the pork we're raising now, again, very lean. Americans, you know, demanded a bit, little bit leaner look in there. If you want something with more flavor, then you go with some kind of heritage pork, the Caributa, one of the breeds that maintains a little bit more of the fat. And I'll tell you, you sear off a pork chop, I mean, it's a good steak substitute if you're not looking to consume a lot of red meat. You get a nice heritage pork chop, you'll be well pleased. So what are we going to do with these? We're going to sear these off somehow. And when we come back after these messages here, we'll figure out, you know, a good compromise, not a compromise, but a meeting point where we're not, people are doing sous vide now, they're putting them in the water bath and searing it afterwards, and then I've seen some where they sear it and then freeze it and then cook it again. And, yeah, we'll talk about what searing means, and really rest is probably the most important part. We'll be back after a couple of these words from our helpers and our friends at Chef Bill's Table. It comes and it
goes. It's the way that you use it. Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Back at the table here, so figure out what cut to buy. And as I say, if I was going to share family, my favorite is just the boneless strip steak, because get them nice and thick, and you can slice them, portion them out. You don't need one steak per person. Sometimes you try to do that, they're a little bit thinner, you got to cook too many, you know, it's the pan's not hot enough. It's better to do a couple of larger ones, and you let them rest and slice them. Now, if the meat, say you've sliced your steak and it looks a little bit too rare, then that's when under your hot oven or under your broiler, just put it on, reassemble the steak, put the slices back together, call that sliced and reassembled, and back under the broiler or in the oven just to finish the cooking a little bit. You don't want to do that for too long, but that's what some of the steakhouses do. They'll cook the meat very, very rare, let it rest so the juices aren't running. Problem happens when you slice steak, the juice runs out, and all that stuff doesn't stay in there. So when you're cooking steak, especially important, any meats really, let them rest after cooking. Some chefs will say put a little foil. What we really want to do is one of the best ways is to prop it so it's not actually sitting in the juice. So you take a large plate and then you invert maybe a smaller bowl over it. Let the steaks kind of lean up against the bowl so they're not sitting in the water. Now that juice is always good for enriching a sauce, so you don't ever want to lose it, throw it out. But what I've found, sear the meat very rare, let it rest, and then you can take it back into the oven again, or if you want it even a little better crust, you can put it back in the pan. But really, we sear them in the cast iron and then finish them in the 500 degree oven. If the meat can rest a little bit, all the better. It'll still be warm. If you're serving a sauce with it, of course, that will help heat the product back up. But even with veal and pork, and of course pork can be a little bit pink now, you don't have to worry about well done. Pork doesn't really taste good medium rare, but at least medium to medium well, you get nice soft texture. You haven't cooked all the juices out. When you're cooking proteins, they're unraveling and the liquid runs out. That's why sometimes your well done meat's a little bit chewy, unless you're braising it for a couple, 3 hours. So some form of nice steak or big chop. Now potatoes, how much time do you have? You could do ahead. What we do if you want to do, again, a steakhouse style, a German fried or home fries, hash browns, whatever you want to call them. I like to bake potatoes for that. I get Idaho potatoes and I bake them. Not till they're mushy like you would for a true fluffy baked potato, but so they're cooked but still firm. So we bake the potatoes, chill them down, then you take the skin off, and then you can slice them, you can dice them. If you want to shred them, you can. But what's happened by baking them, you've driven out some more of the moisture. They brown up a heck of a lot better. A lot of home fries will say, well, you know, steam or boil the potatoes first, chill them down. You know, do you use an Idaho, do you use a waxy potato? I mean, they all have their attributes. We like the Idaho potatoes. And what we'll do is then we have some chopped caramelized onions that we've done. Again, you can do those ahead, chill them down. We just toss the potatoes with seasoning. We just, you know, a little smoked paprika if you like, salt and pepper, and the onions. And then it's very, very easy to heat those up in hot oil or butter. Heck, we'll even roast them. We'll toss them with the seasoning and a little canola oil and roast them in the oven for a little bit so that seasoning's in there and the oil's kind of soaked in. In a nonstick pan, we could have nice home fries in seconds. You know, add the onion at the end and saute it up very quickly, either with butter or oil, a little parsley, and you've got some nice German fried potatoes. And you can, again, if time's an issue, you can set these up ahead of time pretty well. The other one I thought of course, the Hasselback potatoes that were the rage a number of years ago. Made those. They're a little bit more work, but we found that those could be done and chilled down and reheated properly. That's where you take your baking potato and you cut very thin slices, not all the way through the potato. We actually made a little tool to help us with that. So very, very thin slices, and you have some butter, salt, and pepper. And you're baking this potato, and what happens is they end up, fans apart a little bit, and the outside is crispy like a potato chip, and the inside is still nice and soft like a good baked potato. So as these are baking, of course, you're basting them a little more butter. We actually could throw a little, you know, if you like garlic in there, that's fine, but maybe Valentine's you wouldn't want garlic. We just did some Parmesan towards the end, and the cheese and the butter kind of fall down and side the potato, the outside with the skin on gets crispy. As I say, they can be done and they will reheat. I know baked potatoes normally don't reheat well, but these the Hasselbacks will. So either German fried Hasselback if you have the time to do it. Again, for a vegetable, You've already had salad, asparagus, lettuce. Do you need a green vegetable? Maybe, maybe not. I know with steak, I love mushrooms. That would probably be, you know, really reinforce the flavor of the meat. A good mixed mushroom medley. Splash maybe a little Madeira in that or white wine, a little shallot. At the very least, you know, use the creminis, or baby portobellos, a little bit more flavor. If you like plain mushrooms, that's fine. They're a nice product. Also in the stores, you can find these medleys of mixed exotic mushrooms. Always nice to do. If you did want, of course, another veggie, I mean the classic cream spinach, but that's too much work. We're going to just fry some potatoes, right, and have some mushrooms. Now a sauce. What do we serve with the steak? Do we need sauce? I don't know. For me, just a little, we used to always brush our steaks with melted butter afterwards, and that was good. But here's where you could vary your dish. You take a canvas like a steak or a chop, and the sauce could be now maybe something family favorite you like or some style of cuisine. A simple brown garlic butter. You could do a chimichurri herb sauce if you like, a green sauce. A horseradish mustard might be nice if you want to have something a little bit less caloric. What I do with that is you have a good country style mustard, and we add some horseradish to it. A little bit of sugar, believe it or not. And a little bit of tarragon. If you can find some fresh tarragon. We've used the dried if you can make it ahead. The little tarragon in there. And actually a little bit of oil. What oil does, it kind of spreads seasoning around your palate. So it's not oil to make it like a dressing, but just, you know, a teaspoon or just a little tiny bit. A little bit of sugar and oil really helps something like a horseradish mustard. Our basic horseradish sour cream that we use a lot at Jake's, of course, just plain sour cream mixed with horseradish. And there you go. Some chefs like to put extra salt and pepper, or maybe a little vinegar. We like a good horseradish and a nice fresh sour cream. If you're thinking steak sauce, again, something normally, I guess it would be tomato or ketchup based. I know Luger's, it's kind of a horseradishy, but that's, their sauce is not for steak. It's for really the tomato and onion salad. But a deviled sauce, something quick, if you have some brown sauce or even demi-glaze would be ideal for this. You could probably make a thinner one just with a good rich beef stock. But a tablespoon of shallot, 2/3 of a cup of red wine vinegar. You're going to reduce that shallot and vinegar by half. You add your brown sauce or your stock. A couple of tablespoons of tomato paste, a little bit of Worcestershire, Lee and Perrins. A pinch of cayenne if you like. And simmer this down. The tomato paste should thicken it up a little bit. You strain out the shallot, and what you're looking for is that, again, brown sauce with a little bit of tomato, a little bit of sharpness from the vinegar. We've done a steak sauce that's, I guess I was trying to make an A1 knockoff, but I used a cup of ketchup and 2 tablespoons of regular country mustard, a couple of tablespoons, we used to call it like a spicy plum sauce. We take a little Chinese plum sauce and a little bit of hoisin and mix it together. So you want a little bit of that. 2 tablespoons. 2 teaspoons of wasabi powder. 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce and 2 teaspoons of soy. And we kind of mix this up, and it's not bad. It's a nice little different kind of steak sauce. Again, ketchup based. We always say, oh, who puts ketchup on a steak? But really, some of our favorite steak sauces